Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
In for Dave this morning is Seth Powell. Hey, Seth, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carrie. It must be such a letdown for your listeners to hear that awesome intro for Dave, and they're stuck with me instead. But I will be pinch-hitting this morning. I hope I can fill in adequately.
Awesome. Okay, well, speaking of hitting the target, let's talk about gun control. You're thinking, yeah, that only happens in, like, New York and California, right?
Well, I think a lot of people think that right now, if you watch the news, you just assume that, and not that they're wrong, they think that the Democrats in D.C. are the biggest threat to our gun rights in South Carolina. And unfortunately, Tara, I'm here to tell you, the biggest threat to our gun rights in South Carolina are Republicans in the State House. And I know that for a lot of folks, that may sound a little extreme, but let me, you know, hear me out. I mean, I know you and Dave have already talked about the gun bill they passed this past year down in Columbia, what I like to call the half step forward, two steps back bill, that allows folks to carry openly if they have a CWP, but also allows local governments to restrict our ability to keep and bear arms, and also sends more and more information of private citizens to sled into the FBI. So to me, that was already, in a lot of ways, a gun control bill they've already passed. And then now we look at bills that they're also introducing for next year. And I'll tell you, Tara, you would think this is coming from some far left person in San Francisco or New York City, as you alluded to. A couple of these bills I always highlight real fast. H-3418, and once again, these are bills sponsored and filed by Republicans in the State House. 3418 would prohibit someone from owning a firearm if he or she is convicted of a crime that carries a prison sentence of more than 1 year. So now, right now in America, if you are a violent felon, right, we have agreed as a society that it may be best, and we can, you know, disagree or agree about this, but we've decided as a society that if you're a violent felon, it's best that you cannot own or carry a firearm for the rest of your life, even if you're out of prison. Now what these Republicans in Columbia are trying to do is bring that down to basically petty crimes. And you don't have to be convicted for a year or more. You just have to be convicted of a crime that which you could have been sentenced for a year or more. And so some of these crimes include stuff like trespassing on state park property, the sale or possession of counterfeit cigarettes. Tara, I don't even know what a counterfeit cigarette is. But apparently if you sell or have possession of one in South Carolina, if this bill passed, they're going to strip you of your gun rights for 15 years. Another one that, you know, gets me every time is if you record a movie in a theater on a cell phone, that carries a sentence of more than 1 year, or you could be sentenced to more than 1 year. So if you get convicted of that crime as, you know, you're at a dumb 18, 19-year-old and you record a movie and you get caught in a theater, now they're going to strip you of your gun rights, right? And my favorite one is contempt of the General Assembly, which includes, quote-unquote, willfully giving material incomplete testimony to lawmakers under oath. So what does that mean? It means that if you're one of your listeners out there that uses our text line or is very active with their politicians and wants to expose them, wants to confront them at a delegation meeting or what have you, they can get subpoenaed by the General Assembly, be brought down to the State House and put under oath, ask questions, and then if the lawmakers that they've upset determine that they have given materially incomplete testimony, they can then convict them of a contempt of the General Assembly, and they can strip their gun rights that way. So they're basically trying to redefine what we think of as a criminal in order to, for no other purpose than to restrict the gun rights of South Carolinians. And once again, this bill is not from San Francisco. It's not Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Cortez writing this bill. This is four Republicans in Columbia trying to push this on us. So I guess my biggest message today is we hear a lot on the news about what the Democrats are doing in D.C. If we want our gun rights restored, we want to protect the gun rights we still have, We've got to keep our eye on the State House and what Republicans are doing down there, because unfortunately, even with 2/3 majority in the House, 2/3 majority in the Senate of Republicans in Columbia, we are still seeing our gun rights under attack day in and day out there.
It's absolutely incredibly frustrating, Seth, and the fact that they are preventing people. Also, they're very interested in people just not signing up to address them because it's too risky.
Well, that's
to speak out.
Part of this is intimidation. But one thing, we got to get to the motivation here. Like, what is the motivation of anyone, right? Of anyone that would say, if you record a movie in a theater on your cell phone, that we're going to restrict your gun rights. I mean, that's nonsensical, right? If we catch you trespassing on state park property, we're going to restrict your gun rights. Like, what is the motivation here outside of, we just think that we want to make sure as few people as possible have access to their Second Amendment rights. That's the only logical conclusion I can come to. And once again, it's Republicans doing it. I mean, I'm open for suggestions here. If someone can explain to me why someone selling a counterfeit cigarette, whatever it is, needs to have their gun rights restricted for 15 years, I'm open to hearing it. But I don't think there's a good argument. And I don't think that there's a good motivation beyond these guys just do not believe in the Second Amendment, and they're going to try to chip away at who can own guns, possess guns, and then where they can bear their guns. Like I say, that bill they passed in the summer already allows local municipalities and counties and cities for the first time ever to restrict the ability to open carry both your pistols and your handguns, and also your rifles and your long guns. That's unprecedented. Why did Republicans put that onus on these local governments so they could restrict their gun rights? Why are Republicans trying to redefine criminal and strip the gun rights of people who commit petty crimes, right? Because they want to restrict gun rights? I'll give you one more, Tara, another bill that once again has been filed by a Republican is H-4210. It would make it a felony to share your elected officials' contact information, whether that's their address, their cell phone number, their email address, what have you. Now, think about that for a second. If these bills pass, once again, both sponsored and introduced by Republicans, they would be able to take your gun rights away for 15 years if you so much as share the cell phone number as your elected official.
Okay, let me stop you for a second, Seth. I want to understand this. Are you talking about their public email address, like the one that they get through the legislature that we use to email them? Or are you talking about their private email and cell addresses?
The way it's written is, I believe it's just their private. So right now, their public stuff is put, like their office number is put on their legislative profile.
I just want to make sure.
State House.
Okay.
But let's say you know Bruce Bannister, right? You've known him for a few years. You go to church with him. You know his cell phone number, right? You talk to one of your neighbors, and he has an issue with, you know, whatever may come up. You go, hey, get in touch with Bruce, right? Here's a cell phone number, right? If this bill is passed, you basically just committed a felony. And once again, now you've committed that felony, they can strip you of your gun rights for 10 to 15 years if these bills pass. And so one thing I just have to ask, like, take away the gun rights issue for a second and just say, what would their motivation be to make it a felony if you shared their private contact information? One thing, these guys work for us, right? Usually your boss has your private cell phone number if he needs to get a hold of you. We are the politician's boss. So I don't understand how it could possibly or why they would need to make it a felony, much less any crime, but a felony for sharing their contact information. But then when you pair it with this other bill where they're trying to make it where they can really strip you of your gun rights for 15 years if you are convicted of any crime where you could be sentenced for more than a year in prison, you take these together, essentially, if you share your legislator's cell phone number, now you've committed a felony, they can take your gun rights. And once again, I just have to ask, what is the motivation here beyond stripping as many people as possible of their gun rights?
I think you pretty much nailed it. I think that's the motivation.
I can't see another motivation, you know? And like I say, it's just disappointing that in South Carolina, right, with the, how our people believe, and we believe in the right to keep and bear arms, we believe in conservatism, we believe in low taxes, we believe that Republicans should be representing these values. And yet, instead of being at, you know, have peace of mind about our gun rights in South Carolina, we are constantly having to look over our shoulder, not because of the Democrats in Columbia, but because these Republicans are constantly trying to chip away at our gun rights. And guys, I'll tell you, the only way to step or to fight back is you've got to take action. You've got to let them know this is unacceptable, right? The bill you already passed was not nearly good enough, and there's parts of the union to go back and change. But these bills coming up this year are completely unacceptable. And you need to do anything in your power. I mean, Josh Kimbrell, Josiah Mangason, you know, the list goes on here in the upstate of guys who want to say they are the top-tier conservatives. Guys, go down there and let your colleagues know this is not going to happen. Like, do whatever you have to do to stop this before it gains any momentum. And, guys, we have also got to step up and let these guys know what we expect. And the easiest way to do that right now is text the word CARRY, C-A-R-R-Y, to the number 52886 on your cell phone. That's CARRY to 52886. That's going to give you a chance to send a quick email to your House rep and your senator and tell them, hey, I see these bills are on the horizon. I know what's in them. I do not like them. Do whatever it takes to stop them now.
Amen. Seth Powell, thank you so much for joining us this morning on 106.3 WORD.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, so ivermectin is horse paste, and you shouldn't take it for COVID. You could end up like Uttar Pradesh and almost completely eliminate COVID. We can't have anyone taking it. Besides, it's horse paste. Yeah, and it's also a highly effective drug for treating viruses and parasites. That's been prescribed by doctors over 200 million times. It virtually wiped out river blindness, which is a virus, not a parasite, in Africa and South America. It is highly effective against the flu. That's a virus too, like COVID. It's highly effective against yellow fever. They've been running studies on it for that for years. In humans. None of that was in horses. It was in humans. But CNN doesn't want you to know that. They lie. They don't want you to know that the guy who invented it won the Nobel Prize in Medicine in 2015. They don't want you to know that the other guy who won it with him works at Merck, and that they together got Merck to make it, not for horses, but for humans. And it's not just about COVID. It's about the flu. A lot of people die of the flu, and that's highly profitable. It is. 500,000 to a million flu hospitalizations a year on average. Somewhere between 60,000 people die of the flu every year. And that's pretty profitable, too, when you treat them. If anybody knew how effective ivermectin was against viruses, my God, they'd use one every time. They'd use an ivermectin pill every time they got sick. And that would be a disaster, especially if you need COVID to keep your authoritarian regime in power. Oh, did I say that out loud? Well, Joe Rogan didn't have a lot of perceived notions about that. He's a podcaster. But when he got COVID and he got a bad case of it, he panicked. So he went to a doctor willing to use it. And in 3 days, he felt great. His doctor used ivermectin, monoclonal antibodies, zinc, and vitamin D. If your doctor is following the protocol of our government, they'll give you none of that. Joe Rogan got it, and that makes CNN really mad because Joe Rogan refused to die. And he won't say whether he's vaccinated, and that really pisses them off. He should have died. So they had to down ivermectin and say it's horse dewormer. And it is. They sell it for that. Works great to deworm horses. But they didn't discover that until they'd written the prescriptions tens of millions of times for humans. But it's all part of the lie, big, massive lie they sling every day. But it was absolutely amazing to watch Joe Rogan interview Sanjay Gupta, the doctor from CNN, and to get Sanjay Gupta to essentially admit that CNN lied about ivermectin. It was a glorious clip. And the reason I'm so passionate about this is because I've seen it work in my own family. I've seen my sister hunched over a nebulizer, taking hit after hit after hit when she had COVID of her allergy meds to breathe because she couldn't breathe. And she was afraid to go to the hospital. She's afraid to pass out because they might give her remdesivir. And now there's a really good reason for that. And she survived COVID using her allergy meds and ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. That's what she did. And it knocked it out in about 36 hours. Exact same amount of time it took for Joe Rogan. So I've seen it work. And that's why I'm so passionate about it and don't understand why we can't have the debate. The worst thing that'll happen to you if your doctor prescribes ivermectin for you is nothing. It's a harmless drug. Every fall, doctors write a lot of prescriptions of it because kids get lice, and then they, when they go to school, and then their parents get lice from the kids, and grandma does too, and they write prescriptions for the whole family. Nobody was worried about ivermectin before, not in the 30 years it'd been used. Nobody even cared. Now they're confiscating it when it comes in from overseas pharmacies at Chicago O'Hare. They're so terrified you'll learn that it works, and that after you prevent or cure your COVID with it, you're going to want to start using it against colds and the flu. That'd be a disaster for the medical industry. Joe Rogan learned the same way I did. He watched it work. And he confronted CNN's Sanjay Gupta about it. Here's how that went.
Horse dewormer's not a flattering thing. I get
it's
that.
It's a lie. It's a lie on a news network. It's a lie that's a willing... That's a lie that they're conscious of. This is not a mistake.
Yeah.
They're unfavorably framing it as veterinary medicine.
Well, the FDA put this thing out. You saw that. Did you see that thing that the FDA put out?
What did the FDA put out?
It was a tweet, and it was snarky. I admit it. They said, you are not a horse, you are not a cow, stop taking this stuff, or something like that.
Why would you say that when you're talking about a drug that's been given out to billions and billions of people, a drug that was responsible for one of the inventors of it making the
Nobel Prize.
The Nobel Prize in 2015.
15, yeah.
Yeah, no, a drug that has been shown to stop viral replication in vitro. You know that, right? Why would they lie and say that's horse dewormer? I can afford people medicine. This is ridiculous. It's just a lie.
I don't think anyone is.
But don't you think that a lie like that is dangerous on a news network when you know that they know they're lying? You know that they know that I took medicine. Like, here it is. This is ivermectin.
You got
this
it with
it right
you.
Here. Somebody gave it to me.
All right, hang on. The thing is, we're like going so fast. Like, I feel like I'm missing.
Do you think that's a problem that your news network lies?
Well, I don't.
Dude,
what did they say?
They lied and said I was taking horse dewormer. First of all, it was prescribed to me by a doctor.
Yeah.
Along
they shouldn't have said it was
a bunch of other medications.
If you got a human pill, because there were people that were taking it, the veterinary medication, and you're not, obviously. You got it from a doctor, so that it shouldn't be called that. Ivermectin can be a very effective medication for parasitic disease, and as you say, it's probably, you know, I think, what, 250 million people have taken it around the world?
More.
I get that.
Way more.
So,
way more. Billions of people have taken it.
Can I just come back to the one I want to talk about? Two things
you
on
have
the ledger.
To, you have, before we get to that, does it bother you that the news network you work for out and out lied, just outright lied about me taking horse dewormer?
They shouldn't have said that.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
You didn't ask? You didn't think that was you're the medical guy over there.
I didn't ask. I should have asked before coming
on
the podcast.
But they did it with such glee.
No,
yes,
Joe.
They did. I watched.
See, that's when they get them out of their little hermetically sealed little lying studio and confront them with actual questions. Sanjay Gupta, yeah. All right, D-Lide. It's not just for horses. Thank you. Do you get your information from CNN? Perhaps you shouldn't. Perhaps you should ask, what else are they lying to you about? The answer is quite a lot. Do you see this? Frustrated shoppers sharing photos of bare aisles in stores across the country on Twitter. And they made the hashtag empty shelves Joe trend on Twitter. Among other things, on the Battleground podcast today, Friday, if you can only catch one, is the best one to catch. It's the Insane Things podcast. We wrap up the most insane things that happened that week. And they're all the big things you need to know. And these are such insane times that it would be a 3-hour podcast, so I cut it down to just things that I've never seen, we've never seen before, that have never happened before. And I still leave a lot on the cutting room floor. It is the best podcast of the week, and it's a good roundup of the week. So if you can only listen to one while you're, you know, running your errands on Saturday or mowing the lawn or doing whatever you do, make it Fridays. Text the keyword Battleground. You can always do this to the text line Battleground, one word, Battleground, to 71307. And we will send you the link to get the Battleground podcast. It works out great. Something to fill your time. Okay. This is incredible. The Biden administration is trying to loosen terrorism rules and restrictions blocking immigrants from coming into the country so that they can get people who worked for the Taliban into the country. That seems like their priorities a little off. I mean, didn't they tell us they couldn't even get the Americans still trapped in Afghanistan into the country? Never mind the 70,000 people who worked for us. We left them behind. We didn't just leave them behind. We handed the Taliban a list of their names and addresses just to make sure they could find them. And I told you why. Anybody who would risk their lives to work with us and loved America might vote Republican. We needed to make sure they couldn't get on the plane, and they didn't. The Taliban sure saw to that. We took over 100,000, just 6,000 of them had actually worked for us. The others were, oh, hell, who knows? And so now they're literally trying to wave terrorism restrictions on this flimsy excuse.
The Biden administration may allow former Taliban servants into the U.S. The Department of Homeland Security looking to waive restrictions for these refugees if they pass other background and screening checks.
Yeah, so what you just said I think is going to be concerning to a lot of people. So their perspective is that there were people that were working for the Afghan government before the Taliban takeover in 1996 who continued to work for the government under Taliban rule. They may have felt forced to. So the Biden administration is saying that those people are victims as well, and if they pass other forms of screening should be allowed into the United States. So here is that statement I was talking about. Many
y'all, this is the same people who are like, oh, he can't get the Americans and the people who work with us out. He can't. Well, how are you going to get the Taliban's little helpers out? Did it ever occur to anybody that the people who worked for the Taliban and were loyal to them might not have had anywhere to work when our government was installed, so they worked for us? No, of course it didn't occur to anybody. This is the Biden administration. Well, you know, they work for us, too, and they're probably good. Why did they work for the Taliban? How do you know they didn't hate working for us? Well, because we just need to waive the terror restriction. Why don't you go get the Americans? Go get the people we promised green cards. Go get them. Now they'll vote down. They're more likely to vote Republican. Plus, we hate Americans. Here's Will Cain on Fox News explaining why this is a very, very bad idea.
You have to ask yourself with the Biden administration where your priorities are at all time. You just had Corey Mills on. He's been running private missions and doing his best to get Americans out of Afghanistan. So why is that so hard while people who might have worked for the Taliban find an easier potential path to get to America? And it's the same time, by the way, the Biden administration has shown priorities of expanding the definition of domestic terrorist here at home. So softening abroad, harshening at home, I think we all have a right to be skeptical of their priorities.
Uh-huh. Kills me. These people just kill me. All right. It's literally coming from so many directions, you can't fight it. Texter writes, they need those immigrants so they can build Joe Biden's police force federal because they won't be in fear of us. Another texter writes, GE just released a statement that all employees must be fully vaccinated. I work from home, been an employee for 30 years, but many years from retirement. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry our governor refuses to fight for you, even though he said he'd go to the gates of hell to fight Biden's vaccine mandate. It's really sad. I don't know why he said that when he didn't mean it, but he gave a lot of people hope. And he walked that back this week in an interview with WYFF that was clearly aimed at me. He's hoping you forgot that he said that. I forget nothing. And he's hoping that you'll be fooled by his interviews and not watch what he's actually doing. But And this is one of the biggest news stories of the week. I didn't do it enough in this hour. Our governor is a liar. He said he'd go to the gates of hell to fight Biden's vaccine mandate. I didn't say it. I didn't even say he should do it. He said it. He promised you that. And he did quite the media victory lap. He loved the bright lights and the attention that he got. He tweeted that out in the middle of Biden's speech, or somebody who works for him did. But when it came time to play ball and folks started to notice, well, mainly me, that a month had passed with absolutely no actions of any kind from our governor, we wanted to know what the deal was. Well, he's afraid to talk to me. I ask actual questions, hard questions. So he talked to WYFF, and he tried to pull the, I don't get to interfere in businesses, which, as Senator Shane Martin, who came on the show earlier this week, it's a great interview. You should listen to it. It's up on my Facebook page. Senator Shane Martin pointed out he sure had no problem interfering with businesses when he was shutting them down during COVID, you know, with his executive order. He tried to tell WYFF that he didn't even think he had the authority to block Biden's executive order, which nobody's even really sure Biden had the authority to do. He'll probably lose in court. So Henry McMaster shut businesses down. We had a caller actually yesterday whose friend had one of those businesses. It's gone, Henry. It's gone. You killed their business. I know you don't care, but you did. And he made it impossible for others to operate by limiting their capacity to half or badly limiting it. We actually read at one point a list of businesses Henry had personally demolished. Henry didn't mind doing any of that. He didn't doubt his authority to do it. He even got so petty he closed the boat ramps, because you know you can get COVID out on the water here in South Carolina. But he now says he doesn't have the authority to go to the gates of hell or anywhere else to stop Biden's order. Here's Henry lying to you. Somehow, though, oddly, Governor Abbott of Texas and Governor DeSantis of Florida do seem to have that authority. It's real weird.
It comes as some companies nationwide and in South Carolina are moving forward with vaccine mandates. And McMaster says businesses won't hear from him.
Those are questions between the employers and the employees. We want to protect that relationship. Let it be one of their choices, their decisions. That's free enterprise.
Uh-huh. Well, as you understood, Governor, back when you sent the first tweet, you know, the one promising to go to the gates of hell to fight the vaccine mandate, it's not between employees and their customers now. It's between Joe Biden and the owners of those companies. And he's telling them they got to fire their employees. You said you'd stop it. You're a liar. You're a liar. And nobody's fooled by you. Texter writes, Tara, we have not lived in South Carolina for very long, but we are beginning to think we made a mistake. It appears the state could be headed to becoming a pale blue state, which only will be a matter of time. It will be true blue. Wish we could afford to relocate now before it's too late. Texter writes, I've been taking relief factor since January, but the pain of the Joker being the president is getting worse. Now the texter writes, hey, Tara, McVaxter is gramming us. I'm not voting for either one again, period. Texter writes, hey, Tara, we can't vote our way out of this debacle, nor our governor will not help the people. Another texter writes, McWussy, McYellow, McCoward, McBrandon, McUseless. Texter writes, SGGOP had better have another candidate for governor. Those of us losing jobs will not vote Republican. I kind of don't have any representation. I mean, the Democrats would have you ankle bracelet monitored for not getting the facts and living from home as you starve slowly. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Good luck. Texter writes, hey, Tara, I haven't forgotten there are abandoned Americans still stranded in Afghanistan. Joe has. He's no idea. Texter writes, it sort of makes sense that ivermectin would fight COVID-19. Bats, horses, both animals. Another texter writes, love your show. Thank you. It is time for the American people to stand up in massive numbers. We must march to Washington by the millions and shut it down. We need to take our country back. Yeah, I agree with that. We need to start marching. We do. This weekend will no doubt be the 13th week of marching in France, where they have taken to the streets over the vaccine mandates. And we need to wake up before our freedoms are gone. We do. Texter writes, Tara, off topic, but shipping port backups are just to drive up consumer prices. Yes, deliberately. Deliberately. And what is chilling is that they knew this. That's why Kamala Harris warned you to go get your Christmas presents while she laughed and cackled in August. They knew this was coming. They didn't stop it. Do you think if Trump knew this was coming, he would have been like, yeah, totally, get your Christmas presents in August. Or just give up. Texter writes about ivermectin. No drug is harmless. Every drug has side effects. Every drug has lethal dosage. Be careful not to misinform your listeners. That is so true. And that is why I have told people, please do not get your ivermectin from an animal feed store. That's not a good idea. And I've in the past given you several ideas for doctors to get the prescription from. Every drug does have a lethal dosage. However, as Dr. Robert Jackson explained to us this week, that was another great interview, that there are fewer ivermectin deaths worldwide each year than there are aspirin deaths. So, yes, every drug is harmful, but ivermectin isn't particularly special in that regard. In fact, it's one of the safest on the earth because it's so widely prescribed. Hundreds of millions have taken it, and it works great. Texter writes, did Sanjay Gupta go on Joe Rogan's show and not expect to be called out for lying? I have no idea. Another texter writes, nurse here, my son got COVID. Our family doctor would only prescribe the antibodies. Looking for a new doctor? That's a good idea. But at least he got the antibodies. A lot of doctors don't even know about those. You got to go in and educate them yourself if you want the prescription. It's maddening, but that's where we are. I feel like we live in a world of third world medicine. It's so bizarre. Actually, we can't even get what the third world can get. They can get ivermectin. We can't. Texter writes, what's bad is ivermectin is effective against the flu, but yet we're always told to get the flu shot. Yeah, if you're able to get that prescription for the ivermectin, you should take it when you first have the symptoms of whatever virus you have. It works well on many. Texter writes, Tara, Mr. Seth Powell is stretching the truth a bit about our gun bills. We are working diligently in Columbia to preserve Second Amendment rights for the good of the people in South Carolina. Trust me, signed sincerely, Hugh L. from Florence. Yeah. Texter writes, Tara, I wish people would understand there are only about 5 conservatives in South Carolina. The rest are Republicans / Democrats. Another texter writes, so the state house is limiting gun rights, but I still have to get a vaccine or take a COVID test to go to work remotely from my own home. We are all kooky. Yes, it's a very kooky time in America. It's a very strange time in a very strange place, I tell you what. Texter writes, what good is the inflation number or the CPI if energy and food cost increases are not counted? I agree with that. That's akin to your wife wanting a divorce, but you are not required to admit to your affair or causing a serious accident, and you don't have to admit that you were doing 50 miles over the speed limit. Facts are facts. You can't exclude the ones you don't like. Sorry, I forgot. We choose truth over facts, Joe Biden. So I guess they can. Have a wonderful weekend.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.